I mentioned a couple weeks ago in open assembly in Sunday school that many other religions have different symbols and icons that they include. Some have different statues of different people, different saints. Some have different objects. Some have pictures, and in some services they'll actually use those things as part of their worship. And those of you that know Baptist, we don't have any statues, we don't have any sacred objects, we don't have any pictures. There's only one object that that you might say is an icon. Only one object that that we hold. We have it there in front of the auditorium. And Rod, I'm going to ask you to go get the other one if you would, and bring it out. But the object that that we, and again, we don't worship this object. This object is a reminder. This object is like a string around our finger to help us remember. And that's what the cross is. Many people wear crosses around their neck. And again, it's not the cross itself that we're trying to remember. The cross is just two pieces of wood. I mean, as Rod holds this one up, if you would, Brother Rod, just come right over here and hold it for me. This is a cross that we had and we used for one of our Easter plays not too long ago. But we don't magnify the cross. We don't remember the cross as a cross itself. It's just two pieces of wood joined together. What we do magnify is what God wants us to remember when we think about this cross, is that His virgin-born, sinless, only begotten Son was nailed to that cross and crucified. As we read, as Brother Chuck read in verse 33 of Matthew chapter 23, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him." And again, let me say it, this is not, even this one up here, this is not something that we should worship. This is not something that we make an object of our worship. It's not part of any service that we have. Again, it's like a string around a finger. Something to remind us of what Jesus did for us on a cross 2,000 years ago in that place called Calvary. Some of our favorite songs are about the cross. We sing the song, "The Old Rugged Cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame." That song tells us that cross, again, represents the suffering and shame that took place on Golgotha. We sing that song, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary." Again, not pointing at the cross, but pointing at the person on the cross. Do you ever stop and think that most people try to avoid thinking about the cross? Most of the world, even Christians at times, we try to avoid the cross. At first, we do it because we don't understand it. In John chapter 3, John said, talking about Jesus, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And to many people in the world today, the preaching of the cross, as the Bible says, is foolishness, because they don't understand the transaction that took place on Calvary. I mean, they don't understand that God sent His only begotten Son to die for them. And so that when they look at the cross and they think about the cross, they don't want to come to it because they don't understand it. And then later, when they do understand it, they don't want to come face to face with the cross because it reminds them of their sin and the fact that there's a price for that sin. Tonight, and this morning and tonight, I'm going to preach on the same subject. I've titled both of my messages, "Come to the Cross, Come to the Cross." Tonight, we're going to talk about how it's the cross that adds meaning to everything that we have in life. I mean, everything that's in our life finds meaning in the cross. And tonight we're going to talk about that. But this morning, in a very simple message, I want to give you three reasons, three important reasons, three life-changing reasons, three essential reasons why every single person should come to the cross. Why should you come to the cross? Why should you be reminded of what happened on the cross? Number one, it's at the cross where we see the wickedness of sin. It's only at the cross do we understand how bad sin is. Most of the world, including most Christians, we're living in a day and age where we've forgotten and we've lost the concept of how bad and wicked sin is. We've become callous to it. I was raking some of the leaves that were left over from the fall, and I have a couple blisters on my hands this morning, and they hurt. I noticed them. But after I rake for a few more times, those blisters will turn into calluses, and they won't hurt, and I won't notice them. They'll be there, but I will have grown so accustomed to them that I'll pay no attention to them. I won't notice them. And that's exactly what's happened in our world today when it comes to sin. We see sin for the first time and we say to ourselves, man, that is wicked. That's vile. That's disgusting. That's evil. But after we've been bombarded with it over and over and go over and over again, we become accustomed to it. We grow callous to it. And we say, well, that's not so bad. That's not so evil. And we begin to explain it and we begin to try to justify it. And we get to the point where the Bible says that we're not ashamed of our sin. We're not ashamed of the world's sin. We can't even blush about it. In the book of Jeremiah, he was talking to a people that had grown accustomed to sin. He was preaching to a people that had let sin creep. I mean, they were the people of God, and they let sin creep into their society, creep into their life. And he wrote this in chapter 6. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. They had become so accustomed to the wickedness that had come into their society. Jeremiah asked their question, were they ashamed? I mean, when God came on the scene and when God looked at that sin and when God sent a preacher to remind them of how wicked that sin was, were they ashamed? Could they blush about it? Jeremiah said, no. They'd grown so callous to it. They'd grown so used to it. They began to justify it to themselves. They began to justify it to society. And they weren't ashamed about it at all. They couldn't even blush about it. And if we're not careful, we'll get so used to sin, that's what will happen to us. Let me tell you why I think it happens. Now, Rod, you stand right here just for a second. Stand right there on that thing right there with the cross. And then, David, will you and Daniel come up here and help me just for a second? Here's what happens. Dan, you go over there and stand on that plug. Dave, you stand right here. I've used this illustration before, but it's been a long time. And I think it makes the point. David will represent us. He'll represent us as individuals, okay? Rod's got the cross. This is our perfect standard of perfection. Not the cross, but the one who died on the cross. Right, righteousness, purity, perfection, however you want to say it. We're going to let Daniel represent the world, okay? Who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan, and he's in the world. So here's what's happened. Here's what happens. David, instead of keeping his eye over there, what's right, and instead of trying to get as close to possible as here, keeps his eye on the world. And as the world gets more wicked, as it moves in that direction, David, because he's got his eye on the world, just try to keep the same distance, keeps the same distance from the world. Okay, go a little bit further. Okay? Oh, and by the way, these people say, well, the world's getting better. I mean, people are made in the image of God and the world's getting better. No. World's not getting better. World's getting worse. World's getting more wicked. world's going deeper into the depths of sin. And as the world keeps getting worse and worse, because we've got our eyes on the world, go a little bit further, all right? Because we've got our eyes on... Now look, David is the same distance from the world as he was when he started out. Same distance. But notice how much further he is from perfection. And did you notice he's exactly in the same spot that the world started out in? Exactly the same spot. You go and you compare Christian music that are on the radio today to the world's music 20 years ago, and you know what? You'll find it's the same. Say, it's still different from the world, and we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be peculiar. I know it's different than the world because the world's gotten so much worse. But you listen to Christian music today, and you compare it to worldly music 20 years ago, it's exactly the same. You go back and you look at how we even as Christians today, the dress that we think is okay, and you compare it to how the world dressed 20 years ago, it's the same. You go back and you look at the TV shows that we'll say is okay today, and you compare it to what the world said was okay 20 years ago, and they're exactly the same. It's because we've taken our eyes on the one that defines perfection for us. We put our eyes on the world, and as the world moves, we've maintained our distance. Yes, we have. I'm glad we've done that. But look how much further we are, and what we need to do is take our eyes off the world and put our eyes on the cross, because it's when we come to the cross that we see perfection. It's when we come to the cross that we realize how wicked we are and how bad sin is. Ezra, when he was rebuking the nation of Israel for his sin, he said, God, you're so great. And when I see the sin that we have committed, I am ashamed and I blush to lift up my face. Now, Ezra couldn't say that, just like the people in Jeremiah's day when he was over here in the world. Compared to the world, I mean, if I maintain my distance from the world, I might be able to say, hey, I'm not so bad. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm not as bad as the world is. But that's not the standard that we're supposed to compare ourselves to. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You do not find the glory of God in the world. You find the glory of God on the cross. That's what defines righteousness. And I learn how bad sin is when I come to the cross and I look at Jesus and I see the price that was paid for my sin. And I say, like Ezra, God, I am ashamed to lift up my face. And I blush because I see how wicked my sin is. Okay, Daniel and David, thank you for helping me. Brad, you come back, stand right here. So why should we come to the cross? Number one, we need to come to the cross because it's at the cross where we see how wicked and how bad sin is. Where are you going to see it any other place? You're not going to see it by watching TV. You're not going to see it by listening to the radio. You're not going to see it by hanging around with the world. The place where you see how wicked sin is when you come to the cross. Again, not the two pieces of wood, but when you are reminded about what happened on the cross. You need to come to the cross to see how wicked sin is. Number two, we need to come to the cross so that we can see the price that was paid for our sin. Let the cross remind you what happened to Christ. They beat him with their fists, with the palms of their hands as they slapped him, with rods and a whip. They pierced him with the crown of thorns, the nails through his hands and his feet, the spear in his side. They shamed him as they stripped him and spat on him and mocked him. Why? Not for any sin that he committed. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Why? Why was he beaten? Why was he pierced? Why was he shamed? For my sin. For my sin, for your sin. In Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And God commended or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need to come to the cross because it's only at the cross that I am reminded of how wicked sin is. I'm reminded of that when I see the price that was paid to pay for my sin. Again, Jesus went to the cross as the sinless, perfect Son of God. He had no sin that he had to pay for. Every time he was beaten, every time he was pierced, every time he was shamed, that was for me and that was for you. Not for him. For us. Every time. Every time. And if I get to the point in my life where I forget how wicked my sin is in the sight of God, I need to come back to the cross because I need to be reminded every single day that I'm a wicked sinner that deserves hell. I need to be reminded every day that if it wasn't for Jesus going to the cross and dying for me, I would have no hope. And when I lose the concept of how wicked I am, I lose the wonder of my salvation. Because you see, if I think, well, I'm not such a bad guy. I try to tell the truth. I try to be honest. If I get to the point where I don't think I'm so bad, then the price that Jesus paid for my sin doesn't seem so high. He might have suffered a lot for Reg because Reg is a wicked guy, but I'm not so bad, so he didn't have to suffer much for me. Now, that's just an example, but that's what I'm saying. Reggie will love him more because he realizes he's a sinner. When I forget that I'm a sinner, and when I forget how wicked my sin is, then I forget about the price that was paid on Calvary. I need to come to the cross. It's only at the cross where I see how wicked my sin is. It's at the cross I see the price that was paid for my sin. It's at the cross that I see the way to heaven. Brother Chuck read the scripture. There were two malefactors, thieves, that were crucified with him. One on the right hand, one on the left. In the middle of the crucifixion, one of them cried out, looked at Jesus after he'd heard all the crowd taunting him, say, "Hey, you're the Son of God. You say you're the Christ. If you are, then why don't you come down? Why don't you prove to us once and for all who you are? You come down off the cross and we'll believe that you're Jesus." And one of the thieves turned to Jesus and said, "Hey, yeah, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Christ, why don't you come down from the cross, save yourself, and save us?" And the thief on the other side of the cross said, "Don't you fear God? We're here because we deserve it. We're here because we committed deeds that were worthy of death. But this man has committed nothing amiss." And then he looked at Jesus and he said, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me?" And Jesus said to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." We tell people that getting to heaven is as easy as A, B, C. A, admit that you're a sinner. That's what this thief did. He said, "Hey, we're here because we deserve it. We're here because we've done deeds worthy of this penalty. We deserve to hang on this cross because we're sinners." He admitted he was a sinner. "This man has done nothing amiss." And I like the words in the Bible. "This man has done nothing amiss." This man has done nothing amiss. He hasn't committed one sin. He doesn't deserve to be here. He hasn't committed any sin. He hasn't committed murder. And not only that, he hasn't had one evil thought. He hasn't gone one wicked place. He has done nothing amiss. He is perfect. He is righteous. He is the Son of God. That's why the thief could turn to him and say, Lord, you are the Christ. That's what he was saying when he said, Lord, you are the Christ. You've lived a perfect life. You have not sinned. You have done nothing amiss. All these people that are taunting you and saying that if you're the Christ, come down and save them. I understand. You don't deserve to be here, but you're here to die in my place. And he said, when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? That's the confessing part. He admitted that he was a sinner. He believed in Jesus, that he was the perfect Son of God. And then he confessed him. Hey, you know, he hadn't changed since that day on Golgotha. That's the same way we get to heaven. We admit that we're sinners. I should have hung on the cross. It was my sin that should have took me there. But Jesus died in my place. The sinless, perfect Son of God who had no sin of his own, but who went to that cross and died for my sin. Dear Jesus, I confess you. I believe in you as the Son of God. I believe in you as the Messiah. I believe in you as the Christ. I believe in you as the one who went to Calvary to die in my place. When you get to your kingdom, would you remember me? And Jesus will say the same thing to every single person in this room this morning. If you'll confess him today, you'll be with me in paradise. We always ask the question when we're trying to get somebody to think about Jesus, if you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? The thief knew he was going to die. He knew he didn't have much time left. And he wanted to go to heaven. None of us know that we're going to die today. I don't know. You don't know. But if we did die today, if God said, hey, this is the day, this is the day I've ordained, this is the day I've chosen, this is the day of your death, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven? The only way you can be is come to the cross. It's not joining the church, not being a Baptist, not even being baptized. The only way you go to heaven is to do what the thief did. Admit you're a sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then confess him. Call on him. I want to go to heaven. That's what the thief was saying. And by the way, if you've got any sense at all, you'll say the same thing that the thief said. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to that place that's prepared for Satan and his demons. I want to go to heaven. There's nothing wrong with wanting to spend eternity with Jesus. I want to go to heaven. The only way you can do that is to come to Christ. Thank you, Rod. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for these simple reminders that you put in your word about how we can get to heaven. Here was a man that was a thief. Here was a man that didn't have a chance to get baptized, to take the Lord's Supper, to join a church, to do any good deed. Here was a man that was facing death in a matter of hours. And yet Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise, because he believed on him. And I pray, Father, if there's people in this room this morning that have never believed on Jesus, if they've never put their trust in him, that this morning they would do that. Help them to understand that they can't get to heaven any other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't get to heaven any other way but by coming to Jesus. And I pray this morning, if there's somebody in this room that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, never confessed him, never said the simple words that the thief said, hey, Jesus, I want you to remember me. I'd like to go to heaven with you. I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe when you died on Calvary, you died for me, and I'm trusting that and nothing else to get me to heaven. And if there's just one person in this room this morning that would say that, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd help them. Help them to see that that is the only way. Help them to see that that is the way to get to heaven. and help them to make that decision this morning. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.